Can you hear me, Ansley?
Morning, Honorable. I'm Speaker and good morning, all the Honorable.
Another line, how are you?
I'm very well, Honorable Nyeni. I can't complain, God is good. I just want to make some coffee quickly.
Okay, thank you. Members and everybody on the platform.
Good morning, Wif. How are you?
Good, good. Very cold, but good. We had a tragic accident on the Tech Flats yesterday where six scholars lost their lives. So we're just trying to see what we can do to rally around that. Really sad. People, the drivers were not stopping and there's a lot of questions that need them answered, but people are so sad, so yeah.
Thought about it. Our condolences.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Smo, breaking, are we ready to start?
Morning, Chair. Peter.
Morning, Chair. We shall be starting shortly. I'll start ensuring that all members are in our checking them.
Okay, thank you.
Chair.
Yes, Brakin.
I think we can start.
Do we have our minister on the platform?
Yes, we've got deputy minister, Chair.
All right. Thank you. good morning, honorable members. Our DM,
recording in progress.
As well as our officials, the DG and their team. I welcome you all. The purpose of the meeting is to deal with the following matters before our agenda. So it's a busy day. I won't waste time by making some preambles, but to invite your constructive ideas into this particular meeting so that we build our department as well as our society. At this stage, I will request Brakin to give us apologies if we do have any, but you are all warmly welcome into this today's meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, DG. CEs of the entities and the Chairperson of the Board. And good morning, colleagues, both from Parliament and from the Department and the entities. Chairperson, the apology that I have received, it is from the Office of the Minister, which indicated that the Minister is attending a Cabinet meeting. That's the apology I have received, Chair. And then in the platform, on the side of the MPs, we have a new Chairperson, Honorable Tomelang, Honorable Matulelwa, Honorable Jacobs, Honorable Lubembo, Honorable Mieni, Honorable April, Honorable Hendricks, Honorable Magida, and Honorable De Villiers. So if it happens that there's a member that I didn't recognize, may I extend my apologies and maybe indicate. So those are the members of the committee, and we got an understanding that since the apology of the minister, the deputy minister, the honorable Dipo Peters, will be leading the delegation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Apologies noted. Thank you. We'll now move to the next item, which is adoption of the agenda. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the agenda which is before us? Honorable Member.
Honorable Mieni, to move that the agenda be adopted.
Thank you. Any second, Honorable Member?
I second.
Thank you, Honorable Luvengo. The agenda is really adopted. Can now move to the next item, which is briefing on the 22nd to 28th quarter performance report of the Small Enterprise Development Agency, where I will request the DM to usher her department. Over to you, DM.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to, as an upfront disclaimer, request the Chairperson's permission and the committee's permission that I switch off my video, because where I am, we've got load shedding, and I managed to get a corner where I could get network. So with your indulgence, Chair, may I be allowed?
Please to switch it, DM, we are familiar to your voice, even if in dark clouds, we can hear the voice, that this is the real one.
Do that, please. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I am, and members of the Portfolio Committee of Small Business Development, the officials from the department, as well as members of the public who are on the platform or watching from the streaming line. We are here today with the team of the department that will be led by DG to present the department and its entities' fourth quarter performance. I'll just give a few highlights, Chairperson, and you remember that we did raise in the budget speech that the department paid 100% of all vendor creditors within 30 days. That is what we pride ourselves with. And through you, Chairperson, and in engaging with other chairpersons of portfolio committee, we request you to monitor and encourage other departments to do the same. We have been informed that about some of the payments were processed within 7 days, and it is something that really we need to sustain so as to be able to be a department that leads, for example. Implemented one public engagement within the district municipalities, which was the target was 15 for quarter four. With regards to SME database, the SME business index to identify levels of readiness and capability of small enterprises was implemented. A total of 56 against a target of 50, a target of products produced and services rendered by SMEs and cooperatives were linked to domestic market. Progress report on the review of the business M&D and proposed changes was approved by the EFSCO, which is on the 27th of March this year. Both the progress report and consolidated progress report on the finalization of SMEs and cooperatives funding policy were approved by cabinet on the 27th of March. The department supported 82 cooperatives versus 50, which was the target for quarter four, financially and non-financially, something that we need to pride ourselves on. The National Integrated Small Enterprise Development Master Plan was implemented, or the Master Plan Implementation Report was approved. Five municipalities were assisted with the rollout on the red tape reduction awareness program. And Chairperson, with regard to this, we believe that we need to increase and move at a faster pace, because five municipalities as present is not going to be enough. We need to increase the pace at which we support our municipalities. And working together with FOCTA, we believe we can accelerate the process. An assessment review report of SMME regulatory impediments to reform was approved on the 27th of March. And Chairperson, without going deep into the work that will be presented to you by the DG and his team and the entities, I would want to request your indulgence to stop at this particular moment and allow the DG and his team to go forward with the presentation.
Thank you, DM. DG, over to you.
Good morning, honorable members, DM, colleagues on the platform. I'm not sure whether I should, as per the agenda, request the leader colleagues to proceed as per the agenda.
Thanks. Yes, do so. You are assuring your department, DG. You are at liberty to do this.
Thank you, Tichi. Good morning, Honorable Chair, and honourable members, the Deputy Minister, the DG, the Chairperson, the CEO, and the colleagues on the platform. My name is Connor Mata, the CEO of CEDA. I'm going to put on my video, Chairperson. I am present the CEDA performance for Q4. Through your permission, Chair, and the Honourable Members, Commissioner, if I could switch off the video for bandwidth purposes, but that would be much more clearer.
You're allowed to do that.
Breaking, if you could assist with the sharing.
Yeah, if I've made you a co-host.
Thank you. Is my screen visible?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Once more, I will be taking the committee members through the performance by CEDA for quarter four of the 2022-23 financial year. I will then go into detail where there are points to emphasize and highlight where there are points to highlight. Chair, the presentation will have the introduction, then have a performance overview, performance information issues, will cover HR, finance, financial, governance, marketing, and other key projects, which I will not go into detail. It's for the committee members to also appraise themselves of some of the key projects that we involve ourselves in. I will then go straight to our performance for the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, we as an organization were tracking 20 indicators that we measured in quarter four, and we were able to achieve 100% of 19 of the 20. And we only miss one performance indicator, which is the TTA, which is technology transfer percent, Q2. Financial constraints, we're not able to meet that. We've been actually for the past two, but we aligned and enabled better planning in terms of financing for the new financial year. We were able to provide that assistance that we had to assist to provide. Jefferson, we also had under our dashboard summary, we're able to touch base with the clients in the following areas, and we're able to do assessments in terms of their business readiness, and also provide services to those clients. On the incubation program, we're able to, in the quarter, assist 2,507 SMEs with occupation problems at the target of 2,500. Under the productivity improvement, we were able to achieve 569 with the target of 500 in terms of SMEs that were able to engage and assist in terms of improving the productivity. By Parmachin, we were able to do 1,077 with the target of 706. This includes the work that we do from assisting with the clients to understand what it is, how they can improve the quality of their product. We want to comply with all in the various sectors to actually then get in to do the work and assist them to improve the quality of what and then on the private sector as well, we're able to meet the target, and this is the SME that we are prioritizing from our side to grow from a growth point of view, where we're saying we are identifying and we then work with particular SMEs to grow them. So I think the need is we can create industries around those SMEs, but also scale them up so that they're able to produce more. On the coaching and mentorship and training, we were able to now on a hybrid level as well, in line with the changes in technology, so that we're able to save costs and reach out to more SMEs. I won't touch on all of them, on the access point, Jefferson, for the quarter, we're able to establish or sign agreement and establish 34 assisted access points in the rural towns and rural areas. This is a target of 20. However, on an annual basis, this is a target of we did achieve, but on a quarterly basis, we did achieve, and I'll go through that when I'm getting to the annual numbers. Access to local markets, we're also able to achieve that target, and then international markets, where we did a lot of, there was also a trip with many, where we exposed them to the market. And other activities that we performed to bring where they were able to go and showcase themselves, their products in Africa and other markets. The performance highlights. For the quarter, we
recording in progress.
The other part that shows our bigger branches, our incubation, which is 43 branches in the country. Access points that we've been able to establish in total 68, of which 30 something was established in the fourth quarter. We are working very hard. Actually, as it stands now, we've been able to sign with other access points, service providers in other rural towns and townships. With the figure is currently at 78, and we are moving those service providers, but we didn't count for that because it happened after year end. But actually, at year end, this is where we're standing. And then on the category, we also further categorized the main business that we have data for 1,784, new businesses 1,182, and we then missed on the target of people with disabilities, which were able to touch base with 273 of those, and that we didn't achieve the target. But we are working together as a portfolio to reach out more to this target group. And we are able in the financial year to meet the target in this space. Chairperson and members, our performance last year, the same quarter, we achieved 83% of our target. This year, same quarter four, we achieved 95% of our target. Jefferson, the next slide provides the details of the achievements and the targets following the summary. Through in our touch base on some taking the reporters that we missed, and also maybe touching base on the yesterday while I'm dealing with quarterly achievements. On the quarterly achievement, on the entrepreneurship awareness, we're able to see that through the webinars and the sessions that we have, we're able to see that by 3,000 mile basis, we're well ahead of the number that we said we were that we have set for ourselves. On the townships and rural businesses, we're able to achieve that target at 11, and it's because we're catching up with the other quarters where we're not able to duplicate and finalize the incubator. So then by doing the approving 11, we're able to then meet the annual target of 11. Because in the previous quarter, we had moved on all other examples so that said, we get the incubator to be approved at the board level in trying to make sure that there's proper governance in the process of approving the incubator, and we're able to succeed in that, and we support subcommittees and the board approving the incubators that need to be established. This is also our efforts in making sure that we improve the governance and also improve the accountability in terms of establishing these incubators and making sure that they are aligned to the vision of the organization as well and the mandate of the organization. So we're successful in changing the policies and the approval mandate to be at a higher level. On the number of access points, as I said, Chair, in the quarter we're able to establish 34. However, on an annual basis, we're not able to achieve the target, which was 80. But I was saying to the committee members earlier on that subsequent to the end, we really, because we had adjudicated by March, but we had not signed the agreements and everything, so we didn't count those, even though we had adjudicated, but we had not signed the agreements, so we moved forward, so we didn't count those in these numbers. So what we then did is that post-March, we finalized, post the end of March 2023, we finalized the ones that were adjudicated, so then we moved to the establishment stage. So we moved quite drastically on that. And to resume with a fully fledged training, so that the access points then come a serious extension of CEDA and CIFA as well, because also CIFA is training the same point. Members to make sure that when they move work in that both CIFA and CEDA services, so we join hands in making sure that the services offered are also seamless, and this is the question also for the major of the two entities, make sure that we're aligned in the service offering and that SMEs can move into one door and get all the services. Chairperson, this is not the only time we're doing this. We started sharing office spaces in some of the regions, and we are moving towards that where there's sufficient space to host both CIFA and CEDA. We're looking at the spaces that are available, and we also looking at that so that when the merger comes, you know whether to move from the current location to create more space, to ensure that we have all the numbers in terms of investment officers, business advisors to assist the client, but the client can move from one person to the next, and then problems can be resolved if there are problems in one sitting, other than clients being moving from one office to another office, and there's no seamless communication. So we're moving on that, and we are looking at the spaces that were possible for us before. In Durban, I know that we've moved into one office block, trying to make sure that we have those seamless activities, and we're looking at others in different provinces as well. And we'll make sure that that happens, Chairperson and honorable members, so that when the merger happens, we are well prepared and we know what we need to do. Chairperson, on the issues of local markets, we're also able to meet that target, access to local markets, the international markets, as I explained, where we take to a number of trade missions to expose their products to the outside world. In terms of, and these are clients that we take that are ready, that we have assessed and assisted with the productivity improvement quality, and also make sure that their packaging and their product requirements meet the international standards. Only then we expose them to those markets, because we can't expose them to the international markets before they meet the requirements and their products are all in order, and their packaging is also proper labeling and meets all the requirements. after we've done all that work, then we start exposing the client to then the other market outside the country. So with a successful incubation program, we're able to build that accumulative number. We're able to achieve that number. And then productivity improvement, I've spoken about it. On the TTA, which is the technology transfer systems, Chairperson, we missed the target again this quarter. And that is because the funding that we had, we really got finished the demand and the size of applications that we got, because we grew up to 1.2 million. So the size of the applications was bigger in terms of the quantum that the industry requested. So we're not able to do all of the numbers. We're unable to achieve less than what Chairperson, I won't waste much time on the quality improvement because I've touched based on them on the summary slide and the number of jobs created through our intervention in the quarter, which was 255. And also able to sustain the job as well. Our intervention may not result to direct jobs at the time when we do the intervention. We should train a client for quality improvement. Or productivity improvement, or take you to access to market. At the time of the intervention, it may not result in an increased number of jobs, but as you then are able to sell or improve quality products and create more market through our intervention, then you see clients starting to increase the number of jobs in their sectors. So we go back 6 months later to measure the impact of our services and if our services result in success in jobs, so that we can count real jobs at that point in time as a result of our intervention. So it doesn't come to jobs due to the intervention because they don't create jobs at that time until the intervention is done and the products are then sold. And then on the mentorship and training, we meet that target both quarterly and also annually. This program three, which is administration, is just more internal looking, where we try to improve the innovation within CEDA, and we are implementing some of the innovative ideas. For example, we'll be the current financial aid introducing finding options, so that then wherever our clients are, they don't have to come to our office once the intervention is assessed, they will be able to then with the PA going to them, be able to sign, you know, and we don't need anymore. So we're trying to move away from paper and be able to get our clients not to travel much, but our PA to travel to clients, and then the clients are able to find and confirm that they're happy and that the intervention are done according to what they are looking for. So that's one method that we'll be introducing in the current financial year in line with our CRM system that we are busy finalizing to make sure that we have to provide seamless and also are able to account for the numbers that we produce as an organization. So those are some of the innovative ideas that we have. I can count more, but I just wanted to make an example of that one intervention. We're also looking, exploring other, methods, you know, to make sure that that is done accordingly, where the PA doesn't even have to go to the client, but those are the early stage of development. And then the rest is just normal internal customer subscription, vacancy rate, which is sitting at 7.3% below the required 10%, and then the number of digital systems being prioritized and completed in the current financial year, so that we try to ensure that the organization complies with technology. My screen is not moving the right direction, Chair. apologies for that. On the HR, I won't do much, but we are within the 7.3%. We are working hard, given the major and the nation that we get. We still try to fill in the vacancies and the positions to make sure that we still provide the services to the employees. This slide just breaks down the vacancies in the various provinces, including the national office, and we prioritize filling the vacancies at any given point in time. On the financial report, I did do a summary. We over and above our budget for the year, we also got the additional million for the flood relief, which we have completely spent. We were doing the last delivery on the informal sector, but we spent that funding on the flood relief, which then increased our budget to 965.2 million for the year. And we spent that 10% on core, and 91% on core and 9% on support, where we're supporting the provinces in doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. And these are just the programs that we're able to spend the money on. And then we're saying that the 10.9% of our budget has been utilized, and only 647,000 rand was not spent, which is 0.07% of our budget for the current financial year as well. I won't go into detail on this because explaining what I've just stated in terms of the spending and the capital expenditure as well. As we said, the one of our expenditure for the quarter, which is 5.24%, but we're catching up on the previous quarter underspending that we have achieved. And this is the spending spread per provinces as well. And other provinces have spent more because there was an addition now 6 million in the KZN and Eastern Cape for the flood relief, which increased their spending as well. On the performance issues raised last year by AG, we had we had findings on the performance information, which is the reason why we've engaged on various systems to improve our systems internally. As I said, the CRM system will only go live at end of June, which would enable us to capture all our data from the province on the system, so that everything is system-based and there's nothing manual. And then we're saying that we will, at the end of 2023-24 financial year, at the end of this new financial year, next year this time, we shouldn't have some of the issues that were raised by AG. We are with audit starting tomorrow for the new financial year. As I said, the systems, we implemented the systems and they were not ready for this current financial year. So we may have some issues, but we are hoping that everything will go smooth. On the governance and compliance, it's just on the board meeting and the board of committee meetings that took place to show that there is governance in the entity, where there were three board meetings in the quarter, and there were three strategy and assessment committee meetings. And the rest, Chair, I'll take this right, but all the committees did meet in the quarter to make sure that there's compliance with governance within the organization, and these are the policies and everything and the decisions that were made by these committees. And this just details our marketing work, where we're able to do four pop-up markets across in various provinces in the quarter. And I won't go into details, Chair, but this is the work in terms of what we're trying to do on brand management as well, and enterprise coaching and mentorship programs as well. But I won't go into details, but this is the work that we do to promote CEDA and the portfolio offerings, and also promote clients' work where we operate pop-up markets for the clients to sell their product. And these are just two projects that we are involved in. I want to make sure. But there is the future
sorry program in the Northern Cape, and it's a primary cooperative. That's the 2018, and we are working around the clock to assist the 50 members in this call, and we sell about 20 votes. And we are working with them to make sure that the business becomes a success. And we'll then link them up with all the stakeholders that we can link them up with. And then the other one is Nazareth, and then the one is the one, Jefferson. With that, I would like to thank you and thank you. Thank you, John.
Thank you, CEO. King, can we go back to our agenda? The next item is CEDA. DG, can you lead us? Ashaya Agency, please.
Okay, it was CEDA, now it's going to be CIFA.
I'm sorry. It was CEDA, now it's CIFA. Yes, CIFA. Over to you, Bram Tolis.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Deputy Minister, DG and colleagues. If Brakeen, you may allow me sharing a power to share the presentation.
Do I do it on the Invisor?
No, on my name, under my name, sorry.
Under your name?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Looking for a name.
Still put it my chamber.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, members. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity, Chairperson and all of members, to come and present our quarter four performance for CIFA. And I am a member. Expressed apologies for the board chairperson. He couldn't join us today. He got a bereavement. He lost his father. We're here today then to represent CIFA. Now my problem is that of the street not moving. Bear with me, Chair. The screen is frozen here. Let me stop and start sharing all over again. I'm here. Why do I have two presentations? I'm gonna be. Up there with me, Chair. I'm trying to spot up today. Technology creatures, That's very hard to share, and members, we this one immediately to the glitch here. Chairperson? Chairperson?
Yes?
Your Honorable Aiflo, I want to suggest if possible that Brakin could take us through the slide for the interest of time, because I think he would have a presentation so that the CEO could possibly just present while Brakin is going through the slides. It's my proposal, Chair.
Chair, we have it already. Apologies, we sorted. The thing is that there are some notes, honorable members, that I've made on my presentation. I would prefer that I present it from my side to the presentation. Thank you, Chair. I hope the presentation is visible. I will change it to a slide presentation as soon as this allows me to report on this. Okay.
There we go.
Thank you.
Yes, it's
moving. Now I hope it's moving also on the side of the members. Chair, real quick, because I've lost some time now. We're going to be looking at the performance highlights of the organization and then zoom into the balance scorecard and then the loan book performance, and then we look at the development impact, our post-investment monitoring, the financial performance, move into human capital performance, marketing and competitions, and then the organizational governance performance. Chair members, the organization total loan book at the end of quarter four was 4.18 billion, and we approved about 656 million, which is 147% more than what we targeted for. Members will wonder why that much. Look at the previous quarters, the approvals were less because of the challenges that we faced around cash flow, where, for example, in our direct lending book, we had to pause approvals so that we are able to collect enough money to finance the disbursement. And also, we were able to achieve those over deliveries in disbursements and approvals because we were able to also earn interest. As the interest rates were escalating, we have investment income that is also in banks. So we earned more interest revenue from those investments, hence we're able to have those approvals under those challenging times. We dispersed 555 million, which was 139% above the target. And that number, as I said, was financed through our revenue income from investments. One, two, we were approving less on the wholesale SME finance because of the poor quality of some of the applications that we received in that regard. So there was money that was in wholesale which was able to finance these other approvals that we have seen in quarter four. When it comes to the number of SMEs financed this quarter, we financed 28,924 SMEs and facilitated jobs to the tune of 82,498. And the money that was dispersed to women-owned businesses was 483 million. And for township-based enterprises, it was 106 million. For women-owned businesses, was 453 million. And for youth-owned enterprises, it was 131 million. Moving to the balance scorecard numbers. Quarter four, the target was 400. For approvals now, it was 446 or 447 million if we rounded off. We're able to approve 655 million or 656 million, which is 147%. Regardless of the challenges really that the entity was facing this quarter, I must submit, Chair members, that the team was shooting the lights off, because in most of our critical targeted areas, we exceeded our target by far. Coming to disbursements, to SMEs, for quarter four, the target was 400 million, and the team was able to disperse about 555 million, hence the 159% overperformance. And the number of cocktail co-ops and SMEs financed, the target was 16,966, and we're able to do 28,000, which gave us 170% performance. Jobs facilitated for the quarter, the target was 20,994, and the team was able to do 32,498, which gave us 105% over. And disbursement to black-owned enterprises, the target was 281 million, and we were able to do 483 million, which gave us overperformance. It took us to 172%, which is almost double the target. Disbursement to women-owned enterprises, the target was 160 million for the quarter, and we did 253 million, which gave us that 158% overperformance. Disbursement to youth-owned enterprises, the target was 120 million and we did 151 million, which gave us that 109%. Disbursement to enterprises owned by people living with disabilities, the target was not achieved, was we targeted to 8 million and we only did about 209,000, which gave us that 1%, which I'll speak to later. It's a long-standing challenge that we've been addressing with the Department of Small Business Development and the Department in the President for Women, Youth and people living with disabilities. Now moving to disbursement to entities in the townships, the target was 100 million and we did 106 million, which gave us 106%. And disbursement to enterprises located in rural and villages, the target was 160 million and we achieved 251 million, which gave us 157%. And then the number of leads generated from stakeholder engagement, we targeted 20 and were able to do 78, which gave us a 390%. The annual brand visibility index, we targeted 50%, we were able to do 66, hence 132% we see. And the annual customer satisfaction index target was 83, and there we managed to do 56, which landed us at 7%. And really, it's understandable because of the challenges that we're facing as an entity, the satisfaction of our customers was not the best, because we wanted to achieve 83%. And then the enhanced risk maturity of the organization, we targeted 3, but we managed to achieve 3.5%, hence the average 17%. Coming to the financial perspective, Chairperson and members, the cost-income ratio, we targeted 87%. We were really good there because we contained the 87%. Which is 128%. I'll talk to why, because there are drivers that actually made us deliver the cost containment to that level. The rent value of additional capital raised, we targeted to raise funding outside of our location and interest income of 85 million. We were able to raise about 123 million, hence the 146% performance there. The cost income ratio for properties, we were targeting there to contain the cost at 400%, but we managed to level it out at 42%. People will say that's quite a huge one, yes, and we are aware members. Our properties portfolio is occupied by tenants who have been on rent boycott for an extended number of years, but we're busy working with our property team and legal to regularize those tenants. Hence, we'll see an increase in the collections later, because now we're converting those tenants are occupying our properties to be direct tenants of CFI and kick out those who are subletting our properties legally. The lettable area vacancy rate, we were expecting it to be 30%, but we managed to contain it at 8%, hence the 106% performance there. Rental collections rate, our target was 40%, but the team managed to really shoot light out there at the performance of 25%. This member is driven by the interventions that we put on the ground to force the illegal tenants to sign this agreement. And also we're converting electricity payments now, or access to electricity, through what you call your meter system, so that clients buy the electricity in advance to prevent people paying for electricity that you cannot recover. And also the increase now in the number of tenants who are signing the lease agreement has resulted in that collection rate improvement. The ratio of emergency repairs, we were hoping that it could be 40%, but we were able to contain it at 10% within our properties. The ratio of SMEs tenant in our portfolio. We were hoping that we'll have about 20% of our tenants being funded by SIPA, but the uptake of our clients from the lending division is low for our properties because they are not that attractive. We're busy trying to really renovate some of our property to be fit for purpose, but we do get other tenants who are not necessarily funded by SIPA. And then KCG, capital leverage ratio, we were expecting 6.25%, but the team was able to achieve 6.31%, which is the 101%. What this means, members, is that for every rent that KCG guaranteed with the banks were able to on-lend 6.81 cents. So if you look at it in millions, if we guaranteed 100 million, you look at the 681 million that will be on-lended by the bank to the market, which is really a stunning performance by the KCG team. The percentage growth in revenue, that is now excluding the grant income from the NPF. We were expecting that our revenues will grow by 10%, but they grew by 69%, mainly because of the increase. We increased the book, the lending. We are getting more interest from the lending, but also the interest that we generated from the investment due to the escalating interest rates in the market. The accumulated impairment provision, that's one area where we see a challenge, because we were expecting that we'll contain our impairment at the 8%, but there was a challenge, it increased to 4% in the main because our clients, particularly in the direct lending, are struggling to pay. And I'll speak to that why, amongst them being the local sharing problem that reduces their operating powers. The portfolio risk, which is linked really to the impairments and collections, we were hoping that we'll contain it at 42%, but it ran away to 49%. Portfolio risk members is all the clients who are 60 plus one day behind their payment. And it's also a reflection on the what called our impairments and also the collections rate. We were hoping that we'll collect at least about 87%, but our collections rate was contained at 85%. This members is a reflection of the challenges that our SMEs are facing in the market to be able to what to call meet their financial obligations. Let's move to the next one. Now looking at from the business process perspective, you know, our scorecard, the turnaround time for direct lending, the target was really we started at 8%. In the main, the members, the issue of turnaround time is a function really of the speediness of our processes internally, and also given that now we are using online applications. Once the client is finished applying, now you need human intervention. With the high vacancy rate of about 60 vacancies in SIFA, now we don't have enough human capital to start processing some of these, right from direct lending to credit and legal, including your PIM. So as long as we are having those high vacancy rates, we're still going to have that challenge because you do need lawyers to do deal structuring. You do need the credit analyst to process this deal. And you do need our people team to look at the performance of the sector before we grant the loan. But with the conclusion rate, hopefully, of the measure, we'll be able to close and fill those vacancies. Turnaround time for wholesale, we managed to contain that in 65 days. The automation of our team, that was done 100% to improve our collections and automate using our debit orders. And content management, the enterprise content management, phase one of implementation of this has been done. And the number of clients and funding partner interventions, that is mentorships, we managed to we targeted 43 and we managed to do about 185 mentorships, which is 430%. Came in late because we've been finalizing the procurement issues throughout the year, but in quarter four, we were able to have them fully operational. And the number of SIFA clients improving their turnover by 5%. We were targeting at least 7, but we managed to see an improvement through our interventions to 52% of those clients, which gave us 173%. And the blended first default rate of 6%, members, we managed to contain it 6%. This speaks to client members who face to pay their very first debit order. And we think that number is 76%. We want to contain it even better. Bear with me, Chair. Yeah. Looking at people learning and growth perspective, the number of publications, we wanted one, we did two, which is 200%. The biannual business condition survey, it was done. Employee engagement index, we targeted 65, and we achieved that 65. Then percentage of staff scoring above 2.5%, with this currently doing the annual review check, and that will be concluded around June. And the productivity index, establishment of the baseline, we're able to achieve 100% in that area. Chair, in summary, out of the 38 indicators, CIFA was able to achieve above 100% on 30 of them. And on 3 of them, we achieved between 75% and 99%, and only 4 were below 74%. And the last one is an annual measurement, Chair, which gave us at least 9% above 100 performance in our target. Quickly, the commentary, I've mentioned some of these issues as I was presenting the balance scorecard. The underperformance in the approval target relates primarily to trap capacity challenges relating to staffing. As I said, we have very, very high vacancy rates, and trap is a very, very labor-intensive product. And as a result, we ended up putting more interns, but interns can work in the organization to be productive. They still need to be trained, they need to be managed, and they need to be guided. The challenge of capacity is really, really concerning us. Also, one other challenge was the uptake program, programs by the informal and microfinance. After COVID-19, most of our microfinance intermediaries really were slow in the uptake of the loans because there was a reduction in the loans wanted, but also the performance of the book was struggling and slowed down at their borrowing from us. And that's only what say there was lack of quality business proposals there. And as a result, we couldn't achieve the approval that we wanted. Hence, we ended at 76%. And also, looking at the development impact, we did not achieve the development impact for people living with disabilities. Members, we mention this one every year. The underperformance in this target will still continue because the target setting for people living with disabilities is not scientific. We say not scientific because the way the target is set, it says 7% of the population of South Africa is people living with disabilities. And then it says CIFA must therefore disperse 7% of the loans to those people. It actually ignores the fact that not every disabled person is a business. And we're engaging the department and say, let's go back to the drawing board. Because out of the 60 million South Africans, not every able-bodied South African is in business. There's a percentage of South Africans who are in business. There's a percentage of those who are working and otherwise. So we need to extrapolate the percentage of the 7% of the people who live with disability. What percentage of them are in business? Then you translate that into a scientific target that we need to revise and put in our planning, working with that department. Hence, we say it needs to be revisited and make it be scientific. Collections. The underperformance in the collections was due to direct lending, which continues to struggle with collections due to the difficult trading environment that our SMEs are facing. Mainly the low economic growth, the main pandemic being load shedding, and high input costs, including the fuel prices. We really, really struggling with our collections there because businesses are not making enough money to be able to meet their financial obligations. Remember, I spoke to this one of the approval, but the annual target there was 4.23 billion and we managed to do 1.71, which took us to the 76%. But the total loan book approvals for quarter four were above target, as I said, at 656 million against 447, hence we had 147% at business. And the main drivers really were 231 million, which went to KCG, which gave us that 4.3% quarterly target. But if you look at the three quarters, KCG are not doing well because banks, they take long to approve these credit guarantees. And most of them don't fall into quarter three and quarter four. Hence, you see those high numbers. There was 66 million rents that went to microfinance, which gave us a target achievement of 165%. Wholesale SME, it was 159% with 143 million direct lending. Said that we had to slow down 215 million, which gave us the 81% target. And he said that we had the cash flow crunch in the state and we needed to slow down the approvals. Even this year, members, I must declare upfront that by quarter two, we probably pause again lending, indirect lending, because the Treasury has not delivered on the recapitalization request that we put forward. And with our collection struggling and business struggle, we're going to have a shortage of cash flow and a reasonable business person will stop lending. Well, that would be reckless trading if you continue lending under direct lending without that recapitalization. And the signal we're getting is that we will attend to us during the midterm budget estimate. And we're just going to try and play a balancing act. As the money comes in, we'll approve. But if we run dry, we'll pause in the direct lending space until we have enough resources to deliver. Looking at disbursement, which is the money member that has been deployed in the economy, the target was 2 billion and we managed to deliver 2.43 billion and we did indicate how that was achieved because we dispersed more than what we targeted direct lending. They dispersed 148 million, wholesale 406.6 million, SME wholesale 110, microfinance 116, KCG, they dispersed 139 million. The total loan book disbursement for the year then took us to that 2.4 billion against the target of 2 billion, which we exceeded by 400 million. Quickly moving to development impact members, and the target for the quarter four with regards to SMEs finance was 16,966. We were able to do 28,924. These were actually made up of 169 SMEs from direct lending and 152 SMEs from wholesale lending. SMEs and microfinance, which is our main driver, in 7,217 SMEs, with KCG giving us 876 SMEs. The number of SMEs involved finance represent about 170% of our quarterly target. As I said, that is one of the main drivers of our development of debt. Looking at jobs, members, the target for the quarter was 20,994 and we did 32,000, which gave us 165%. For the year, the target was 104,000, we 968, 104,547, which gave us a 99.8% achievement. If you round off, it is 100%. Quickly on targeted groups, the youth target for the quarter was 120 disbursements, now 120 million, we did 131 million. People with disabilities, 28 million, and managed 209,000, as I stated earlier. Women owned, the target was 160 million, we did 253 million. Late owned businesses, the target was 281 million, and we did 483 million. For entities in rural towns and villages, the target was 160 million, we did 251 million. Township-based enterprises, the target was 100 million, and we did 106 million. If you look, out of all these developmental steps or for targeted groups, we achieved more than 100%, except for the one where for people living with disabilities for reasons I stated earlier on. The geographic spread, the province that was leading, it was Gauteng at 30%, which was followed by KwaZulu-Natal at 23%, and then followed by Limpopo and Mpumalanga tied at 19%, and it was Western Cape before those two at 10%, and then the Eastern Cape came in at 8%, Northwest 7.4, and Free State at 1.8, and Northern Cape at 1%. I must remind members that the key driver here of the number of SMEs in this province is the microfinance. And if you look at it, where SEF and Pagamani are present, the numbers of SMEs finance is higher. Eastern Cape, they have a presence there, hence you see that 6,700. KwaZulu-Natal, same story. Limpopo, same story. Northwest, same story. Now, what we want to do going forward, working with these intermediaries, is to increase our footprint, their presence, also working with us in provinces like the Free State, the Northern Cape, because we believe they've got a greater role to assist us to access our clients as it is in these other provinces. Now moving to post-investment, the composition of our portfolio, as I said earlier, is 4.188 billion, of which the big chunk, 2.7 billion, is sitting under direct lending, with 1.4 billion sitting under wholesale lending. The portfolio risk were a problem stated earlier on. The portfolio risk is sitting at about 42.6%, rather not 48.6, quarter three, but 42.6, against the target of 42, an increase of 6%, as I stated, and that our clients are struggling to pay now, and they are behind in their payments of our loans. The wholesale lending portfolio risk was 2.8%, with direct lending at 5%, which is where we see most of our clients struggling. The direct lending portfolio risk increased by 6%. The main contributor to the increase is the portfolio risk related to their program members that we ran under COVID, the COVID-19 program and CHAP program. They are sitting at about 22%, the size of this book. In our portfolio is sitting under 22% is sitting under the COVID-19 CHAP program, which is 70%. We're beginning to see red light members under those two programs, and we know that we've been accused of being strict on CHAP, but once you start seeing your book becoming a runaway, you have to put control to limit really the increase in the poor performance of your book. The COVID-19 and CHAP is a very, very worrisome book for us going forward, but we will start to put brakes to ensure that we limit the losses that we are incurring under those two books. Members, I'm going to be quick on this one. In quarter four, the combined collection rate was 84.6% against the target of 87%. Our direct lending continues to struggle with collections with both metrics on time and all-in rate of collections. The all-in rate improved during the quarter due to the outcome of the interventions that we put in. We launched a project called Project Badala, where we have increased our collections efforts. This resulted really in collections of areas of about 34.8 million equating to about 12.6 million rand improvement compared to the previous three quarters. Remember here, if you look at these numbers, direct lending, the installment rate was about 203.8 million and only managed to collect about 78.8 million. That is a worrisome trend. And we're putting in place this operation, Badala, to ensure that, number one, our clients who are behind are called now by our collections hub. We set up a desk that focuses on this collection. And we also pushing very hard to lead to those clients that we can speak and afford, but are refusing to pay FIFA. And we need to improve that rate from that 84.6% back to 87% and above. I hope really the income ratio, which we targeted is to be 87%, but yet we managed really to contain that cost income ratio. They're driven in the main by 90 million rand on investment properties expenses that we contained, and the 70 million rand saving from consulting fees. 2 million rands on KPG revenue movement and the mentorship fees of about 5 million because remember I stated that the mentorship program started very late in the year. There was also some savings on payroll of, with only 96%. Really, that is driven by the vacancy rate because we're not filling the vacancies due to the moratorium with regards to the upcoming measure. The only biggest worry is the impairment ratio that we targeted at 80% and was 43.7%. And I did mention members, the drivers, the hours, finance, operating for 4 hours because of load shedding. Their productivity is going to be less. their revenue generation is going to be less, and their ability to pay is also going to be reflected on this particular segment of our work. And we worked. The ministers approved in the announced in the budget vote that we're going to start providing now the power purchase backup for our clients so that they are able to improve their operating hours. And it's a program that we're going to be launching in township and rural and also urban areas. And the budget from the internal services is set aside for that purpose, as articulated by the minister during the budget vote. Human capital management, as a group member, we've done our employee engagement survey. We looked at the productivity measurement framework, which has been recommended for the Human Capital Committee of the board, and we did drive the culture integration, which conducted over 70% of employees have participated, and the provision of healthy and staff working environments, safe satellite offline office, safe office site was set up in Mthatha because of the increase in numbers in Oar Tambo. And there's another office procured in Mpumalanga, there's another office also to attend to the numbers there. We've moved our KZN office to another location within Durban, where the lease expired there. Leadership, we also taken our employees, 9 of them, to a management development program. This year, 18 employees started the mid-manager development program in February. The other one that I must mention, members, not easy in the human capital space. As I mentioned in my previous presentation, between January and March, we lost about 15 employees. We still continue losing employees, and we had one gap. One of our young 27-year-old chartered accountant was involved in a motorbike accident and passed on. He was from a due diligence. But the biggest challenge is the rate at which you lose employees, not sustainable for the organization because it will compromise even the issues around the certification of duties and also the institutional memory that you need for the organization to do its work. It's one area that is really, really, I must say, frustrating if to say for me and the team. We've done stakeholder engagement, as stated there, and we won't bore the members with that one. And the last one really are the board meetings and board subcommittee meetings that took place. And those are the decisions that members, the board and the subcommittees make over time. At the back of the presentation, the person and members will be attached the disbursement of our funding by province and by district as requested by the committee. I will stop there, Chair. I will not really bother the committee with those details, but it is there in the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I will request to proceed and share my presentation. I can
do
get the right.
DG. Yes, this is for DG. Thank you.
Okay, if you can ask this. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, thanks, Bakhti. I would also request to just switch off the camera for now and so that I can be able to save on the bandwidth. Okay, honorable members, DM and colleagues who are on the platform, I'll try to be very brief. As DM has really covered most of the work that we wanted to come through and present. Just to touch briefly here on the governance side that we still doing all the work that we're supposed to do under this space, ensuring that we have engagement particularly with our audit and risk committee, which also guides in terms of providing input in how our internal control measures are also being managed. These are just compliance issues indicating that we are doing our level best to meet with all the compliance measures that we're supposed to comply with in terms of submission of reports, engagement internally, externally, but also alignment with the prescriptions or the prescripts of BPME as well as National Treasury. In terms of overall performance, we were able to meet 15 of the 23 targets, which gave us 5%. And we are always striving to make sure that we do improve because we would like to speed up in terms of the achievement because we don't set targets really not to achieve them. Chair, I'm not going to repeat here. BM really covered me. I'm not going to say anything on the achievement. But we also do, Chair, include the work that we normally don't report on so that the committee can also know or be aware of the other work that we are doing, but it's not part of the APT because we cannot really put everything under the APT. We do want to indicate, Chair, that we are really pushing in terms of the IMEDP, which is that intervention where we go directly and engage with our informal businesses. We give them equipment that they require for them to be able to operate better or to improve, you know, their competitiveness. So we give them the basic equipment that they need, but we also do some training because we do want them to see them graduating and becoming formal businesses at some stage and expand and create more jobs. On the other legislation that we're also handling, Chair, just indicate that our National Small Enterprise Bill is with OXLA. They're just finalizing the certification, but also we have started with government processes. For example, we did go to the business class that we speak there end of month for us to proceed to cabinet. Now we are awaiting the final certification from the British Federal Advisor so that we can take it to cabinet, and then cabinet will recommend it for it to be presented to Parliament. SMME and Cooperative Funding Policy, BPM did touch on this. It's work that is ongoing. We're also doing some work around the cannabis sector because we believe that this is a very lucrative sector and we should not really leave the SMEs behind. So in terms of the master plan, the cannabis master plan, there is a pillar, which is pillar number 6, which talks to enterprise and supply development, where they're trying to to benefit. So as a department, we came up with the cannabis sector support program to make sure that we are able to provide both financial and non-financial support, but also assist because it's a highly regulated space, assist this SME to meet all the regulatory requirements. So we have 6 enterprises that we are working with in partnership with states like ours. We also have a sector support plan because we know that most of the SMEs are in the private sector. They really do not get support. So every department, we do have a separate sector support program that deals with specific sectors that we really want to see SMEs playing a critical role. These are just further indicators. We also have done as a department a portfolio mainstreaming strategy, which deals with the issues that have been raised by the CEO and how can we improve our support, especially to women-owned enterprises, youth-owned enterprises, as well as enterprises that are owned by persons with disabilities. recently, with Commission for Gender Equality, where they assisted us in providing critical input, but we also have some colleagues from other government departments as well coming into participate because we really are determined that we increase our support to the designated sectors. Then we are doing some work, further work around the informal economy. We're also doing or participating in the Eastern Seaboard Regional Economic Development Initiative that is driven by COFDA. We do have a role there to play because we have requested that in their plans they must always not forget small businesses. So we sponsored a study that looks at economic profiling and ensuring that the opportunities that are due to small businesses and cooperatives are identified upfront. You know, they should not be only be seen, you know, once the big guys have taken all the opportunities. So we have finalized the in whatever plans that are taken forward, there is a clear plan on how SMEs and co-practices are going to benefit. We're also participating here in the BRICS activities, focusing on the stream that deals with SMEs and cooperative matters, where we share ideas. We also look at exploring opportunities for these SMEs that are ready to export to the BRICS countries. Chair, we also want to just touch on the areas that we're not able to achieve. Here, Chair, we're determined to really come below 10%. Unfortunately, we missed this by one, and it was mainly because of the terminations. You know that when you terminate, it takes about 30 days or even less, but recruitment or to replace a person who has terminated takes a minimum of 3 months because of all these. The requirements, including the security clearances and all these other things that you have to go through. So it doesn't become easy for us, even if we are trying to make sure that we fill in these positions as soon as possible. So we miss this by just one post for us to achieve our target, which is less than 10%. Representation of persons with disabilities, again here, we have decided now to earmark certain positions. So even in our advert, it will be clear that we are imagining this particular position, one at the SMS level, three at MMS level, medium, which is the medium level, and then below MMS, four positions are set aside. We also additionally doing some work with the interns, reserving some internships, you know, for persons with disabilities in particular, so that we are able to also share and assist them with experience that they require. For them to be better employable in our internship program over 24 months so that people can get real credible experience and they can put their students in their cities and get a job. The other two areas is the enterprise, which is phase 5, which we're not able to achieve. The small enterprise credit scoring and rating system, which we are doing this work in partnership with by us. We're pursuing mostly phase 4 and phase 5 is something that we've put now in our operational plan because of the delay and us not being able to also do both targets at the same time. So we put phase 5 in our operational plan for this current year because it's critical for our SMEs to start, you know, having these credit scoring records because the money that we have in government, I would say, is not sufficient to cover each and every SME, so it would be important for them be able to go out and get funding, but they need this credit scoring or rating system for them to get money from the commercial bank, for example. The other target which we are not able to achieve is the sheet trade platform. We have a target of 1,000. I think it's one of the targets that has been a problem for the past 4 years, where we do get good people who are interested, but some of them, they don't follow through in terms of research or they and participating in the international trade space because this sheet trade space platform, it assists them, it exposes them to all the opportunities that are available out there, but it's not a target that we should not be pursued, so we continue to pursue it in partnership with our NCC so that they can get proper training with export development programs that are offered by SPIDA. And they are able also to take advantage of these opportunities in the international space. Chair, the other target that we are not able to achieve is also related to international exhibition. We had to shift and get some funding from other programs, but we are not able to meet the target because these programs, most of them came in a bit late, and we couldn't put all the processes. But this year we've already done better. We've identified all the exhibitions that we are going to attend together with leaders throughout the year and prioritize those that we believe are of assistance, especially to small businesses based in South Africa. So there is an improvement then for us to do different things differently in 2023-24. Business infrastructure. Here we also have some capacity issues, both the challenges that you face. In KZN in particular, where we have two programs, the rain was too much in some of the areas and it delayed the finalization of some of the projects, but the capacity internally as well has been improved with the approval of the structure in September. We've now got the quantity surveyor and professional architect because we depended on the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to go and assist us with all the work that is supposed to be done in this place. And those who were also busy with their own work, now we have our own capacity internally in the department, and we are going to do better this year. We've put a target in place for this year, sitting at 7, and we are very much confident that we are going to deliver on this target. On the next target, Chair, that we're not able to achieve is this incubation support program, of which the study was not concluded to allow us to start monitoring or looking at how we can improve where there are some challenges. We ended up, because of capacity issues here, so we want a service provider to assist us, and work is proceeding. In fact, it will be finished at the end of this quarter, which is quarter one, and we'll start looking at the improvement plan. Chair, the last target there is the CAFTA. Here, Chair is also one who really that we missed by just two CAFTA that we were supposed to get. We had a target of 450. Mm-hmm. Achieve 448, but we also have got some findings last year, so we're very much diligent in terms of ensuring that we get credible captures, but we also the information that we deal with as a department is information that is sifted through. We don't just put numbers there in terms for the sake of we do get credible people that we can take forward as we want to see this place funding and create more jobs. So we achieved only 448 instead of 450 missing by two. We are also having some issues, Chair, because we roll out this program in partnership with the provincial entities like Housing, Tourism Authority, Northern Cape, Economic Development Agency, CTI, Western Cape, TIKZN. Some of them, Chair, they do have challenges in terms of capacity. So they do enter into MOAs with us, making some commitments, but during the year they will come back and say, no, we're not unable to proceed with this project. Please, you can take the money back, and we always have to find a way of finding another entity so that the money does not really go back to National Treasury. But this year we are aiming to improve in terms of having those early warning systems and ensuring that those who are not able to take our program, we don't really waste time in entering partnership with them. Chair, in terms of the financial report, we had projected to spend 512 million this quarter four. We spent 508 million. We had a variance of 3.9 million, and then we will talk to the reasons of the variance, but here we're just projecting in terms of economic classification that under compensation of employees, we had an under performance chair of 7 million. We projected to spend 44, we spent 7 million. 7 million we couldn't spend because of the vacancy rate, which is 10%. Goods and services, there was an overperformance here, chair of 2.1 million. Under transfers and subsidies, there was underperformance. Out of 458 that we had set aside for quarter four, we spent 437 with a variance of 1.2 million. Payment for capital assets, there was an overperformance here, Chair. We spent 2.6 million more. We'll explain the reasons for that. But just to assure the honorable members that there was no unauthorized expenditure, all the money that we spend, even if it's over performance, money that has been budgeted for the department. On under compensation, as I indicated, we spent 7 million out of 44 million, and then 7.5 million spent because of vacancies. Goods and services, we spent 29 million, whereas we had projected 27 million, but we had to do some reconciliation because documents that were received in quarter four, because we had advances that they paid, for example, to CSIR for that cannabis support program. So we had to do some reconciliation towards the end of the quarter. And CEDA, we also spent some money to the entity of which we are grateful because they were able to support cooperative with financial support with the money that had been reserved for some projects that really had not come through. So we spent that money to see that they were able to really push and make sure that cooperatives in particular are supported financially with the appropriate equipment that they need. Transparent subsidies, Chair, we had projected to spend 438 million. We spent 437. There was an under expenditure of 1.3 million due to the misalignment of some transfer payments projected for quarter four, which were processed a little bit early in quarter three. Machinery and equipment, Chair, here there was an over expenditure of 2.7 million due to payment for laptops and five departmental vehicles, which were projected in quarter three. Because what we've done now as a department, mostly because we've been renting out vehicles, we decided to get our own so that the cost can come down a little bit, so we save the cars. And then, so we paid for these cars in quarter four. We had projected to pay for this cars in quarter three. That's why there is an over expenditure. And then also the laptops, because this is increasing our structure. We have to get more laptops so that the people who are coming on board are able to have the tools of trade. Chair, in terms of the audit findings, we've made some progress. Chair, I'm sure the court will know that our findings have reduced significantly. That's why we were able to get a clean audit finding for the last financial year 2021-22. So most of them have really been addressed. Even the 10 that we had have been addressed, and as we are indicating here, for example, on the first one, the two findings that were there, the program was closed because we also wanted to make sure that all the financial and non-financial support, especially for enterprises, is administered through the entities, so the money was transferred to the entities, with the CIS, which was initially transferred, CIFA, the CIA is being transferred, and FIDA, which they will be administering this money to the GTA. And then provisional balances, we've done our work here in ensuring that we improve in terms of the anomalies, apologies, that were detected last year, so they were not detected this year. We've ensured that we also review our IFRS for the space, so that the quality is good. We've also improved in terms of our APR, the reports that we submit in terms of the evidence. We've improved a chair. There are some quality checks that were done, you know, the customer sector program that I've spoken about gave us some challenges last year. We've improved in terms of the deviation, the reason for deviation, and as well as the provision of necessary evidence, and this has also determine that it will form part of the performance arguments that the colleagues who are administering certain programs, apart from indicating whether they've achieved the target, there should be the evidence, quality evidence, not also accompanying the submission of the performance assessment. We've also aligned ourselves in terms of information system. We've done the COPIA assessment, which was completed in quarter two, and ICT signal control reviews were conducted. External assessment was also done, Chair, and completed on the 24th of November. Chair, it's similar to what we presented just in terms of the targets that we were not able to achieve, that we are still sitting at 10% as at the end of quarter four, where we're sitting with 21 out of 210. We just missed this by one position, but there are some terminations also that happen. But also the promotions internally, they do not, it's something that we have to do, but they do not assist us in terms of achieving our target. We are determined, Chair, to continue maintaining this target, ensuring that we always achieve it, by ensuring that we have more women occupying senior management positions within the persons with disabilities. This is an area, Chair, that we are not proud of, which we are really trying to address with the strategy, the strategy that we approved, and the interaction that we are having also strategy and intention. What is coming up is the receiving of what I presented, but better presenting information. The problem with your president is not for the committee. Also recommended. So this portfolio committee adopts the 2022 quarter 4 months report. I think it's
DG.
Yes, yes, yes.
Are you done?
We're done from our side,
I wanted to be sure because I'm not sure network in Ulaan. I didn't see the thank you on the presentation. Okay. Can we go back to our agenda, Raki? Can you push it up a little bit? The next item is deliberations, recommendations, and ways. I would like Honorable Zing to see so that all of them are able to get them down, and then we'll allow the agencies to respond, and then at the end, the DG will respond, and then the DM will make a camera, and then we'll close the meeting. I'm inviting her on the room.
Honorable Madiba.
Mabiga. All right. And then
Honorable Tomelam.
And then
Honorable April. Those are the three so far.
Thank you.
Then
before honorable members get in, I'm afraid I might forget this. It's under FIFA on issues of people with disabilities, where we only manage to spend whether it's 1% of the my questions, which I would request them to have that homework. I heard the CEO saying that they are now busy because not all people with disability can get into business, but I didn't get a sense of how are they going to get the information so that they align it with the budget in the near future. But at the same time, because what I know, they've got their own organization, and not long they just presented to us, I can't mention where, about their feelings, about the feel that they have been rejected. So I don't think that is going to be a wise move. Who can say not all of them are able to, we must just think about it, because if I'm a person with disability, but I'm interested in selling eggs or cooking chisanya, if I can't do it myself because I'm not able, but I got that interest. So I just want us to think about that before the department, the agency continues with engaging that they want this. They need to be sensitive. Those people are sensitive. What they presented to us really was not it was not nice. It was painful, but it was a reality which was coming from their minds and hearts. So while responding to questions, because I don't think anyone will have that question, but it's something which triggered to my mind is that when we talk of equality in the country, as we are just from Africa Day, we were debating also including such things in relation with countries. We must also bring it down to humankind. And then the second one, which I should have started with, is to talk about condolences to our chairperson of FIFA on the loss. We are saying our condolences as the portfolio committee, but we'll request our secretary to write later on our behalf. His loss is also our loss. May the departed soul rest in peace. So I will request the Honorable Mabika to raise your issues or your questions. Over to you, Honorable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will direct my question to the department. The first one being the issue of intermediaries. As far as FIFA is concerned, they are looking forward to extending their working relationship with the intermediaries. So I just want to check from the department's point of view, if they think the intermediaries are doing us any good, or they are helping the department to help small businesses to grow. The reason I'm raising this question is because from what we saw in the Northwest, which we think is happening all over, it became clear that people who are benefiting out of this thing of the intermediaries are the intermediaries themselves, not the intended beneficiaries or the clients, which I think the purpose is to develop them and make them become entrepreneurs. So with CIFA planning to extend the mandate or and their working relationship with intermediaries, doesn't the department feel that there is something that needs to be done to maybe try and change the system so that it is client-based, or it benefits the intended clients as it should, as it is supposed. And then the second one is that it doesn't look like there are clear plans to extend the support that both CIFA and CEDA are having to the rural areas, because most of the support, even when we visited the Northwest, we did not go deep into rural areas, but we were just going around the township and around towns, which then tells that CIFA is not
seen and known or is not helping those poor people in those rural areas? Or is it that maybe they are sharing the same sentiments with the minister who said when we were at the spinach that night after the debate when we visited that a good spinach business, when the minister said the reason that the department is unable to reach out to many people and including the rural areas is because of the government does not have if they can be made, they can make themselves known to the people because people are going to flock or begin to ask for help. So the reason they can't reach out is because they know that even if they can make themselves known, but then still and even especially to the real poor people because of the fear that should it be made known, people will start to support those people. Then I just want to check if the department is also sharing the same sentiment or the same view to say, let us keep our wings, even know about this help, about even these grants, which are sometimes given, and will remain unknown to them until, and then until when. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Madika, I'm referring to this very good point, Honorable, but it will also assist because as a member of the portfolio committee who's doing oversight, it is a senior who can also suggest issues which will be recommendations that question that are presenting their case, I believe, under equal disabilities. I've observed that to digest on it, but end of the day, when I wrap up, I will request the organization of people with disabilities has presented themselves to us. So you are making good questions, but I'm not clear about their maybe a small and a recommendation one or two on those issues so that even when they respond, your recommendation must be taken into cognizance. I wanted just to add, if you may come back again, Honorable Man.
Can I come now, Chair?
Yes, come now. I want that.
Yeah. My thinking when I look at this thing, you see those people who are in the cities, in the township, they are at least exposed to many opportunities as compared to those in the rural areas. So for the department to also support those, it means they are forgetting about the disadvantage. So my proposal, if I had an opportunity, would be to say, how if the department then becomes biased to the rural areas and have a strategy to can try and go and reach to the poor people in the rural areas who do not have who are not then exposed to most of the opportunities that the government may at some point have. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Pamela.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings to my colleague and the official. Having the presentation and further indicate that through the presentation and the document that was go to CEDA, and I think some of the questions will cut across CEDA and CEDA Chairperson. Then if you allow Chairperson, the board of directors and audit committee, which was which happened the financial year, which is 2020-2022. Take us to understand those two special meetings. Because during the pendant, for instance, Coolbus Audit Committee recommended a forensic investigation. As you already said, Chairman, then
doing the recognition and what progress has been made. Honorable Chairman, can you write down your recommendations because you are not for the Honorable Chairman,
has to come up easy for us.
Because
I just want to check if because we can get the opportunity.
I'm sorry, you are cutting. No, we can't hear you. I suggest that you write down it on the chat, ne? You are cutting completely. Yeah, not audible. Yes. Do that. Yes, write also the question. You are not audible at all. Thank you.
Alright.
Honorable Ephraim. Honorable Ephraim.
Morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning to the DG, all colleagues, to the staff. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Let me welcome the presentations that was made this morning. I've got quite a bit to say, so I just want to jump directly into the questions. CIFA had planned to disperse funds, 16,967 SMEs for operatives, but it ended up dispersing funds to more enterprises. The number increased by 70% to 28,924 in the last quarter. This disbursement amount also increased by a lesser percentage of 39% of target. Number one is, how did CIFA source the funds to disperse to more SMEs and cooperatives than budgeted for in the fourth quarter? Secondly, CIFA managed to disperse 2.4 billion against an annual target of 2 billion in the observed financial year. Where did the extra 428 million in disbursements come from? B, the PCA has been requesting CIFA to separate the number of cooperatives from SMEs supported when reporting on disbursements and approvals. For instance, out of the 74,700 annual number of enterprises that were funded, how many are cooperatives and how many are SMEs? In the fourth quarter, how many cooperatives versus SMEs or finance? C. To address underperformance in approvals, CIFA plans to introduce, amongst others, fintech lending platforms to improve the overall microfinance ecosystem and enhance financial inclusion. Would CIFA provide more information on what CIFA is envisaging in this regard, the cost implications, and the time frames for introducing the fintech lending platforms? How does FIFA plan to address fintech-related challenges such as need for access to the relevant technology and education to be able to navigate the world of fintech? The Kula Credit Guarantee Scheme
Board of Directors is accountable for approving Kula Credit Guarantee facilities. What has been the response of the Kula Board of Directors to the 7,000 rand that were not disbursed to the intended beneficiaries? What steps has the KCG board taken to strengthen internal controls in this regard? Is there reports that we could receive with regards to the aforementioned? Furthermore, Chairperson, the number of funding partners in the intermediaries in the PIM wholesale lending facilities by 5 from 56 in the third quarter to 61 in the fourth quarter of the financial year under review. What led to this increase? Could FIFA provide more information on the 5 partners that were added to the list? The information should include the names and ownership to who owns the FP, DE status of the intermediaries, total advance approved by FIFA, the repayment terms and interest charged by FIFA on the loan, repayment terms and interest charged by the financial provider on intermediaries when it on lands to SMEs and developers. Could FIFA please explain what it means by erratic payments on revolving facilities, mainly from SEF? SEF seems to be a good paying client for FIFA. However, SEF extends vulnerable informal businesses at a very high interest rate. If the roles of CIFA's PIM is to ensure that intermediaries comply with the conditions of the contract, what are the terms and conditions of the contract with SEF? Has the PIM engaged SEF with the exorbitant interest of 29.3% that the intermediaries like Flarmace got charged as an informal business? Of the 61 intermediaries, how many have defaulted on their debts since 2020? What were the policy terms for which the bad debt were written off? What is the total number of the value of the bad debts that were written off by the end of 2022-23 financial year compared to the previous financial year 2021-22? I go that far. Thank you very much, Chair.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Chair. I have gone that far. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, my son. Thank you so much. Honorable Masilela on the stage, please.
Is it my network or is it, because I can't hear anything.
I can't hear anything either, Honorable Cooper.
Chair, are you still there? Who's next?
I'm still there. It was Honorable Masilela was supposed to speak now. And thank you,
Chair. This gadget of mine was giving me a problem. I was trying to open that record thing. Okay, thank you, Chapter 3. Greetings to honorable members and the team of a small business portfolio committee department and everyone that is with us today. Chairperson, you have covered me in that regard of a safer in terms of disability. Mine is just to say we are requesting that even though we're given a percentage of disabled people that are being affected, but I'm interested to know if this percentage is 1% or who, as we always ask this entity to give us more especially the beneficiaries. So I just want them to tell us here that is this 1% 1% or how many people, so that we know would this 1% cover maybe all 9 provinces or what is actually happening there in their record. Also, my question to SIPA also as well, I've heard that they are counting the number of applications that they have approved. My concern and my question is going straight to them to ask that are those applications for or from intermediaries, as we have that experience, or direct owners of SMME and cooperatives? That's my question again, second question, that one. So also I request that please they must break down on who exactly are they going to fund in terms of their report that they are giving us on, they're saying that they have approved so many applications. We just want to have a breakdown. We need that breakdown with who exactly. Cooperative, direct SMMEs, or we're just here going to go out with expression that, okay, we're given an expression that no, there are applications that are approved, only to find out that it's same intermediaries that we are still fighting this thing of intermediaries. So we need to know who are those approved applications. Then to I suggest that SIPA must never again embarrass us the way we were embarrassed in Northwest, as if we don't know what we are doing in and as if we don't know what we are doing, and we don't know who are we representing as this portfolio committee. We were so embarrassed. So I suggest that they must never come to that embarrassment to us, more especially we are members of parliament, people they've got the confidence that there's no one that can do any hide and seek and give us some half information, all of those things. We were so undermined, we were requesting that no, they must stop that as well. On CEDA, if you remember, Chairperson, I think it was last year or 2020, we requested that can CEDA please have trained people if they cannot have the enough staff to go to all municipalities. We need the CEDA representatives in all municipalities because our people are struggling there. I remember on Friday I was having a stakeholders meeting where I was with the business, small business people and the medium and micro businesses. You know, they were so excited to hear that there are funds from CEDA, CIPA, because also CEDA is playing a very prominent role in terms of assisting a startup business or a already existing business to take it further to be able to get funds or to apply for funds in CIPA. So CEDA is we need CEDA, more especially in Madagascar. There's no such in Madagascar. So people they were shocked that CIPA can even take further their businesses. Are very, very progressive, more especially this industry that is that was neglected of the taxi industry, of which I think if the CIFA and the government can just fund them directly from CIFA, they will be able to give us a very good and progressive way of even generating those monies, and CIFA is borrowing them, they bring back all those things. We can take them out of taxi finance. Taxi finance is an intermediary on its own, like finance in telematics finance, what those things are the similar establishment like this intermediary, this taxi finance. We can take that small business to this department and finance it ourselves, because we are guaranteed those people. Every month they take out installment and they pay without fee. So that's the thing that I wanted to say. SIDA, we need you to take those people through so that they can know that they can also go to SIFA through you. You can take them through. Those people, it's simple. We are doing that part of registering, because it doesn't even require SIDA to go there. But us, we can only provide those services of having CK and SARS documents only. Then SIDA, with its way of developing businesses, can take them through CIFA, and then we can have many trainings and all workshops. They are willing to have even workshops to know how to, because they are not only depending on taxes, they're also running other businesses to maintain their taxi businesses. So we need a CIFA also. You can just visit Matatiel if you are ready to do so. I can go with you as well. And then the department, we do understand that if the chairperson of the board cannot come and attend our meetings, because even the minister herself doesn't take us as a priority. So, but they must appoint at least a person that will represent that the chairperson to this department, because you know we have many questions to ask this department, more especially the board members of this department. We also have a questionable issue that I referred it to our chairperson to write a letter to the department, because we want to know those board members. We want to ask them direct questions. If they don't come and attend our meetings here, it means that they think they can operate without us. But the reality of the matter, it's us who need more attention from the department. They must come and take our and answer questions here directly. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope you have captured correctly my request and recommendations. And also, I hope that I was audible enough to everyone. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Krug, I believe your hand was up.
Yes, thank you, Kay. And my apologies on our bumbo waiting for a plane to go down to that down. But just a proposal, Van Chi, and we proposed this for many years now, about the footprint of SIDA and SIFA. And this is the only solution, and that is to have a satellite office in each municipality, a desk where people from that municipality in the rural areas can go and meet up with SIDA and meet up with SIDA, so that they can be helped. And that will also help the disabled people. And I think it's time that we make a proper proposal from the committee side and say this is what must happen. I mean, CEDA and CIFA in the rural areas or the areas where they are, and it's not many, are sitting in air conditioning office, very, very, very extravagant offices. If they can move a desk to each municipality, it will be closer to our people, closer to the disabled people, so that we can get them to assist our poor people in the rural areas. And that is my proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kuga. King, do you still have any other hands?
Yes, Chairperson, Honorable Jacobs.
Okay, Honorable Jacobs, over to you.
Greetings, Chair, and thank you, everybody. Let's first record our appreciation for the report. Very detailed. I think we must acknowledge the department where it has made the achievements, many achievements. But I think I want to just focus on the areas where we think there's a need for improvement. So I'll go through a list of questions. I think the fourth quarter targets, only 61% of targets, and we missed 40%. What is the consequences for the underperformance in the different programs? I think Didi spoke to that, but maybe just another input on that. So we've achieved 23 out of the 25 unqualified audit indicators that one can be reported last year for transparency. What are the APP indicators that the department did not report on, and what was the reasons for the submission, for the omission? Was all the public engagement physical or online? I think that one we exceeded. DG said more than 21 out of the 15. The areas of 56 products produced, services rendered by SMMEs linked to domestic markets. Where was these products? Was it rendered by cooperatives? On the business amendment bill, can the department give us a progress to date? Where are we with the business bill? On the monitoring report on the incubation support that has not been finalized, why has it not been finalized, and what is the reasons for the delay? In terms of cooperatives, I think Hein did ask it, but there's a blurring of the target of 12,901 cooperatives, SMMEs, in the report. It's not clear. We wanted a breakdown of how many of the cooperatives were and how many are small business, and the split between that. Red tape reduction, we only identified 5 municipalities. What about the other municipalities? Is there any progress of Salga doing a generic bylaw to cover all the 258 municipalities, because this is a big challenge, the red tape reduction. So if we're going to do 111 municipalities, we're going to take forever. Can't we get a universal bylaws that make ease of business easier for our people? The president put out Mr. Nkosi and the department on the red tape reduction, but we don't see fast movement on this. The treasury reports underspending. Operating payments due to delayed finalization of printing machines, low travel and assistance due to outstanding invoices of officials to the Ghana trip. Could the department provide more details on the Ghana trip? What was the audit risk and the financial implications related to outstanding invoice of this Ghana trip? Under the consultants' business advisory, due to the Council of Scientific Research Advance, was not being expensed for the cannabis project. So the cannabis project was not on the APP. And National Treasury reported that the department did not receive reconciling documents before the closure of the financial year. The department reports overexpenditure of 2 million rand on goods and services and in relation to CSIR. So I think what we just need there is just an explanation. The cannabis project, like I said, was not. What was the purpose of the cannabis project? How did the department get involved? And also the root causes and the contradictions relating to the reconciling of two documents between SCIR and CEDA. The CRAFT project was underperformed. Just give explanation of grounds around that. Then in terms of the board of CIFA, the board and directors of the audit committee of CIFA have two special meetings. Why was this meeting called and what was the purpose of that meeting? Also, the board approved the forensic investigation. Could the board or the department explain the reasons why we recommended the forensic audit? Who was appointed to conduct the forensic audit? What are the terms of reference of that forensic audit? And then we were also told that the former chair of the board has resigned. When did he resign and what was the reasons given for the resignation? And I think we also know that Ms. Makanda was elected as acting chairperson. Is she still acting? How is the board currently composed? If any new appointments have been made, could both CIFA and the department provide this portfolio committee more information of the board members? Then lastly, Chair, just on the CEDA, I think could CEDA provide more information on the number of incubation centers, where was it established, the nature, the sexual location, in the township, either in the areas, what sector base, outline on that. Of the number of township and rural business supported, how many from CEDA were successfully applied for funding at CIFA? So we want to make the connection between the number that CEDA supported versus the number of CIFA that received funding. Because we always complain about the numbers can be high with a CIFA support of 12,000, but the numbers are very low with CIFA township support. The access points, I think we've heard about the underperformance on the access points. What are the reasons for the 17 partners signing the access and letter so late? I think we talked about the cooperatives. We need concrete examples of where the cooperatives are, especially leading up from January till now. I think let me pause there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Jacobs. Are you done?
Yes, Chair, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, I will now invite the DG and the agencies. I will request honorable members that where those questions, maybe they don't have answers yet, they be written and submitted to ourselves, to the portfolio committee, so that we satisfy ourselves. So that's my humble request to the August House. But let's allow them to respond, because my take is that out of all those questions, honorable members must also come up with some recommendation. It does affect both of us. I believe my request is accepted, honorable members. In that way, I will request the DG to lead us. CEDA will start, CIFA will start, and then at the end, the department, and then the GGM will wrap, and then I will close the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I request the CEO of CEDA to start.
Thank you, Chair, and to the member of the session. There were a few that related to CEDA. I will start with, I agree indeed with Honorable Taylor that we need in terms of and also Honorable Kruger in terms of the rural areas. And we I would like to mention that we do have some co-locations with the municipalities. The challenge that we've been experiencing, which led us to, as an organization, to then move to Access Points, was the efficiency and effectiveness of the LED offices in terms of the municipalities. And then it then gives the association kind of problem where then everyone is associated with lack of performance. But we are continuing with some, I think we've got about 57 co-locations. We need to look into them and the effectiveness of those co-locations. I know, for example, that in Matatiro, we are busy with an MOU with the municipality to look into the space, because we had an information officer there, but the MOU then was not renewed. But we are working on renewal of the MOU to make sure that we are visible, and also the signage in terms of us assisting the SME. We will look at the other co-locations that we have and the effectiveness, but we've been having that challenge, and we trust that the access points would work for us as well to reach out to the rural community. I would like to respond to the issue of the question from Honorable. Also, I think about the incubation, we as an organization, we changed our incubation strategy in line with the DTM, where last year we made a decision that our incubators must now go forward in line with the economic activity of the various districts and municipalities. So when we made a call for the incubation proposal, they were specific in terms of the districts that that we were targeting based on our visit in terms of the minister's visit as well. We were doing the roadshow. We've got responses, and we've since approved and we've been visiting investments to those incubators. We have a lot of provinces. We didn't include Gauteng in our request because we've got a huge concentration of incubators already in Gauteng, which ranges from digital manufacturing to various incubators within the province, and we wanted to extend to other provinces. So we've got, for example, in Waterberg area, we will be establishing the in terms of construction and renovations, the mining incubator, because we believe that there must be a mining incubator in the state to assist our SMEs. We also have would have another one in this stage for agriculture. Which is an agriculture incubator. It's very important that is in Kezilletabi district and municipality. We also have another incubator in Northern Cape. In Northern Cape, we have two. One is the mixed manufacturing, and the other one is the digital hub, digital incubator. And one of them is in the JCG district. And I'm just trying to get all of them. We've got one in KZN, which is a mixed manufacturing in Ilembe district. We've got one in Kenneth Kaunda district in Northwest. And we have a one in Emalahleni in Mpumalanga. I've counted Waterberg, and then we've got a digital one in the Western Cape, which is will be also in Mitchell's Plain. I think I've counted these, and all these have been approved. We are then these are aligned to what we believe is the connectivity of the various areas. I think that was the main question. On the other issue of funding, then between CIFA and CIDA, the members we are aware that in as much as some of the clients need funding, but it's not all the clients that come funding. But we've been able to interact and engage with CIFA on some of the clients. For this year, we've been or for this quarter, out of the clients that requested funding, 40 our requests, and through that access to finance initiative with also CIFA and other banks, we've been able to raise 8 million for various clients, including other funders as well. And our initiatives around this to improve the access to funding between the two entities is that we've got now a team that comprises of the provincial branches and CIFA regional offices and our provincial and regional managers, and the relevant PAs that sit now to discuss all applications that are submitted to CIFA, understanding if there's any challenges, so that we're able then to complete those transactions and CIFA is able to do the funding. That's the first layer that we have. And then the second layer is then the one that is comprising of the services. That is that. On the first layer of the thing with the Nsema Chamber, on that we need to have a meeting next week to finalize trust and how effective trust is working between the two entities. And we continue to do that and making sure that the alignment between the entities is really working properly. On the issue of access points, there is various reasons for delay that caused some of the entities to sign letters late, and in some areas we had to re-advertise because we were not finding suitable candidates to run the access points, because we need properly experienced SPs that we can train, that have been in the field, that then we can train with CIFA and CIDA or on CIDA and CIFA products, so that then they provide proper and good service to the SMEs out there. So in some areas we had to re-advertise so that then we get the right. So that's what resulted in mainly in the delays where we had to go to the market more than once looking for the suitable service provider. I would pause there on my side. Thank you very much.
No, thanks, CEO. CEO, CIFA.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Once again, I'm sorry, it's much longer from CIFA. Let me address first, Chair, the question you raised around the people living with disabilities. We are not saying, Chair, they don't have the ability to run businesses. We are saying not all of them are in the business space. Because, for example, with due respect, you would have a person with a mental health who may not be able to take care of themselves. And you can't count that person to people that must be targeted. So we say we need now, and already the DG started the DG of BSC in Kumane here, engagement with the Department of Food and Children and People Living with Disabilities. Let us find a much more scientific way of setting the target. And then we can be able to say, yes, this is within a reason and that. And from our side, what we've done is one, we lost our program manager for people with disabilities. Our staff, we managed to get another one which joined us, and the safety is already started engaging. But one of the critical issues we need to do in this space is to work with these associations so that you are able to identify funding and business support. opportunities. And that's one of the areas that we needed to strengthen. Secondly, in our engagement with the minister, commitment that the department is making is that the program for people with disabilities doesn't have a grant element. And the majority of the applicants that we receive, they're looking for grants. And we always remind them that as CIFA, we don't provide funding that is grant only. Always a blended finance where a portion of the loan is a grant. And we agreed in principle with the department that we need to create a product now that is blended finance for the for this. So we actually trying to, within all the limitations, we try to make sure that the program is so we will not think we gotta walk away, but we're saying let us set a realistic target and then implement all these interventions that we're putting in place to see more and more of the people with disability actually be a mainstream and put into the program. Then the second one, chair and members, is the issue of the intermittent. I would like to please suggest that let us not mix particularly microfinance intermediary with SNME wholesale intermediary. Which is the SNME wholesale intermediary is the one who provides funding to SNME. Like IDC has only to that same time to provide funding to the intermediary in the introduced program late last year. And we working closely with them because the majority of the intermediaries that are applying at ID are intermediaries that are already owing CIFA money. And we agree with them that we need to work closely together. That's a separate sector of the intermediary space. And then you have your bank that will provide credit guarantee to KCG. That's another completely different sector. And that sector, Chair and members, they don't use CIFA money to unlend. If you provide a credit guarantee to APSA to drive transformation in the agri sector, APSA uses its own money and its own balance sheet to finance those bills. And KCG comes to provide a credit guarantee in case of default. And that's where now the banks are reluctant to disclose their end users, saying this is their money and it poses them to the moral dilemma that we face this government, where once people know that it is different money, they don't want to pay back. And then we have a third leg, which is a pillar of our mandate, the microfinance intermediaries. Those are the intermediaries that members provide access to unbanked and excluded poor rural women. And that program is one of the successful programs of our intervention. And we must not forget, members, that the mandate of CIFA and government policy was that we will crowd in the private sector and partner with them to provide access to funding for these what call excluded, what we call people in the rural and township spaces. We here the committee around the issue of the interest rates that they charge, and we committed that we are going to be consulting all the stakeholders, the department, the intermediaries, funders in the microfinance space, and even the portfolio committee to say, let's come up with an intervention that is going to be a win-win intervention. And bearing in mind that our main target is that end user, rural woman, that is the microfinance. And the contextualizing these intermediaries, but like the person talking money, they fund per year about 400,000 in terms of what we call end users in the rural space. And CIFA money only does about 5,000. We are not a big fish in, when it comes to them, because the biggest chunk of their funding, which they get from the donors at other level, of about 300,000, is what we call micro enterprises, is funded through that. So we say, let's engage and deal with this issue of the interest rates that they charge, particularly for the funding that comes from CIFA, so that it is actually achieving the desired impact that government wants. And we can't, members, we can't walk away from certain parliament. We would be cutting our nose to spite our faces. Because we don't have the capacity that they have. For example, SERF alone has got about 915 employees with 98 branches across the country. Phakamani has got 337 staff members, which is a total complement of SERF staff with 55 branches. We can't afford to lose that network. And with the challenges that the fiscal is facing, we can't afford to employ another 913 to provide this access. 98 branches plus 55 branches. So I think it is proper and prudent for us to continue crowding in the resources of this territory in the microfinance space so that our reach and presence continues to grow. Because as a state, we can't afford currently to have those numbers of staff and employees. But with the merger coming and the cost bank coming, we also look at increasing our work through the cost bank to drive this work. But it is critical for us as government to continue crowding in private sector to access their balance sheet and their resources. But yes, we need to make sure that as we do that, the government's mandate and objectives are tended to. The issue of the board special meeting, the chair, that was held by the audit committee chair. The purpose of that meeting was in the previous meeting that was held by the board. The quarter four report was not tabled or not approved, ran out of time. And then a special meeting was organized to approve the quarter four report. And it was a Saturday. And on a Sunday, it was a follow-up meeting where management was presenting our response to the issues that were raised in the Northwest Oversight visit. When it comes to the reasons for the chairperson resigning, I one would like to believe that would have been contented with the executive authority, not us as management. The appointment of forensic investigators, we've appointed through the audit committee, NSL Young, to investigate the impediment matter. Because yes, we picked up that there was fraudulent activity in the funding that intelligence our intermediary, particularly to kings and queens. Then we said we needed, therefore, to investigate the entire book of intelligence to ensure that the book is not composed of code SME. So the purpose of the investigation, the forensic report that will be produced by NSL Young, is to do that work. Secondly, they were tasked to do investigation around a suspected fraud for TREP products in one of our offices. That is going to be phase two of the work that NSL Young is doing in that regard. I spoke to the issue of the OAS. There was a question around overachievement in approvals and disbursements. Any prudent business person, when there's a budget line that is low in business, it needs uptake, and there's another line that is growing. You don't sit on those funds. You move funds around so that you continue meeting your mandate. In this regard, the funds that we used to finance businesses that were higher than the target for this quarter, and members must not forget that in the previous quarters, we didn't achieve the target. So that money is sitting there being saved. And therefore, if in quarter four, they're saving from quarter three and two, you use that money to finance the deals that are coming in quarter four. We call it in business the last mile. That's when we're running very hard to finalize the targets for the year. And in most cases, you find that quarter four will have these higher targets. 80 million rand of that money came from our investment income. As I said in my presentation, that interest rates were going up, and as a result, our investment that a asset bank generated additional income, which we used to finance this work. There was 56 million rand under spent from wholesale lending or savings, which we used for the direct lending in other areas. And also, there were other, what we call, a savings from the flow of TREP, because we're funding also microfinance through TREP. Those flows, when they come back, we use them to fund the product business of lending at CIFA. Why is that paying erratic, as a member asked? It's not an erratic payment. CIFA borrows money, and they on lend this money to the microenterprises. And when that money comes back, even if it's before they do advance payment, which is a prudent business decision, because if they keep that money, they are actually going to be charged interest by CIFA for money that they may earn less interest in. So what they will do, which we understand, they do this regular advance payment, which assists us, by the way, to finance areas where there's a cash flow crunch, for example, in direct lending, where the challenge where we have to stop lending because of the cash flow crunch that we face. So what you do as a prudent business person, you take that money, you close that gap there, which is what we did. So it's not extraordinary for staff to do an advance payment. They do that regularly, and it's an accepted business practice. It assists us to manage our cash flows internally. FinTech, we were instructed or asked by the board to form partnerships with FinTech so that we make it easy for SMEs to access lending, because we launched an online loan origination system. It has some teething problems because of the new system. And we said we needed to partner with some of the people of FinTech in the industry, like Lulaland, and even we're looking at partnering with the African Bank now that they've introduced business banking. But those engagements, members, are still going on. Lulaland, we don't think it's going to work, because their funding model is completely different from us. But Lulaland would say, you must first prove that your business was there for 12 months plus, and when you apply there, you don't have that, it gets declined immediately. Or they also charge about 30% interest, which is too high for our lending people. So they said, that business model is not going to work for us. African Bank, we engaged them, they said, they're going to be introducing their business, finalizing their fintech program for mass lending, because African Bank members, remember, they were doing personal loans. Now, through the procurement of Grindrod Bank, they're introducing digital finance. Said, we want to use their network so that our people can access them wherever they are. Now, they said you must give them time up until around September to finalize the development of their fintech. So we also looking at upgrading our own fintech, particularly for some of the programs like TREP, so that we speed up the accessibility there. Under KCG, the World Bank is developing a system for KCG at a cost of 60 million rand at their cost. And they're in the country, I think they came in this week or late last week, to actually assist us to develop that KCG system at about 60 million rand at their cost, not a so, and remember, there are multitudes of interventions that we put in place to try and automate and digitize lending. And we're going to do it both internally and also through partnerships. Because in the lending space, particularly in fintech, you don't do everything. You cherry pick the best working system from whoever is in the market so that you improve. For example, Vodaland is using Lulaland system, but they don't have a system that is as good as Lulaland. That's how fintech works. And if you want to be competitive, that is the approach that we need to follow as a business. The best yet number for this year, and members, the number that we still have to take to the board, because we can't write off as management. We have to take it to the board. And the auditors are here, and they're going to be looking at that number, and we will actually be able to arrive at the budgeted one is around 43 million for which was the money that was a return of in 2020. And only 20,000 has been actually budgeted for this year. So we will still be finding those numbers until the audit is at which table. I think those were the main ones, Chairperson, that I put Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Chair, I'll cover some of the areas that have not been covered by the CEO. Chair, the question around the income gap is, I think CEO covered it, but I must indicate that the minister and the already met with the board of the IFPA around this matter. Some proposals have been made. So as you were saying, they are working on a process. They will also be further engaging and submitting a report to the minister, because they have the issue of the rate, in particular the interest rate, that's one of the areas that the minister and the MFA with the entity. I think one of the issues is the issue of the rate, that our limited capacity does not allow us to reach at the corner of the country. We are intentional in terms of expanding our accessibility with the co-location points with the municipalities. It's something that is part of the strategy of ensuring that we reach as many areas as possible. Chair, there was also a question about I think I've covered that one, that we are expanding. I think the point that Minister always makes is that given the resources that we have, we would like to be everywhere, we would like to do assist each and every business that comes through, but we are limited because of the budget that we have, but also we are have to coordinate the whole ecosystem. Because in terms of the statistics or the budget that is paid by National Treasury, which is over 17 billion, only 2.5 billion, 2.6 billion comes to the department. All these other, the rest of the budget, which is over 14 million, 14 billion, goes to this government department. So we started with the provinces in particular, where we are engaging now in this provincial coordination forum, so that we can guide in terms of how we support, you know, SMEs and cooperatives as a collective, because we will never be able to reach each and every corner as PSBD giving our limited resources. So we want to coordinate the whole government in terms of the support to small businesses and cooperatives. Chair, there was also a question or point that was raised by one of my colleagues. I did see earlier on, I think the chairperson of CEDA board normally does come to the meeting, but I think she dropped off because of connectivity. I don't see it anymore, but she does come through. I think we will communicate on the super side, but I think with the apology that was advanced by the CEO that the chair has a challenge, has a bereavement effect. But I think the point that was raised that maybe they should appoint someone to act and to come through, I think it's a valid point that they should take back to the entity. I'm not going to repeat what Honorable Kuka had asked about the footprint, and I think the CEO did provide a response. Honorable Jacob did raise a few points that we need to cover. Yes, it's true. The issue of performance, which was for this year, which is not what we really wanted to achieve, which is 65%. We wanted to achieve 100%. As we said, those targets with the intention of achieving them, but there are certain instances where we just miss this target by one or two indicators, and we do put these things in the performance agreement of various officials, including the managers who are running those particular units. So it does have consequences when the performance assessment time comes. These things, they do count. In certain instances where we are able to carry over certain targets the following year, we are able to do that if there is budget available to make sure that still achieve. For example, the one that you spoke about around the IT system, it was not achieved last year, 2022-23, but part of the operational plans for this
year, 23-24, so it's still going to be delivered this year, so irrespective of whether officials have other targets in their performance action, they still have to deliver on this target. Okay, in terms of the public or the APP indicators, we do indicate, especially when we present our APP 22-23, we did indicate, I think it's on 48 of the adverse not performance plan. We indicate which AP, which targets are not supposed to be reported in particular quarters. For example, the one for the audit outcomes, we cannot talk about it the whole year. We do report on it once. So it's one of those targets that is not appearing. And now in quarter four, because we reported on it when AG finalized the report and gave us the audit outcome. So we do need to share the information on those indicators that are not reported in quarter four there in the APP that we table. There's the public engagement. Only one out of those public engagements because it's the best online. So all of them were physical because that's how we are able to engage with the public and the people that we are engaging on. And in our engagement, we do take advantage of the events that are organized by other stakeholders because we know that as a department, we don't have that big capacity, so we must make sure that we participate and just share input in terms of our products and also engage with the SMEs who need our support. This product, we do have a list. It's mostly products. Some of them include health food. They include green stuff, mint, lemon, pepper. There's quite a number of things, spices. We do have a list, share that we can share with the committee, and also have a list of those enterprises that were part of this product. We can share with the committee. I do have it here. The other question was on whether there were cooperatives. No, there were no cooperatives. The part of the the product or who had products that could be listed at the time, but we believe that this year will have some improvement. It's not an area where we are proud of. That's why I think we shifted even the funding to speed up so that they can, because they do quite a lot of non-financial support. Even the issue of product quality is also resides within speed up. So they will be able to really offer this complete package, providing business development support, technical support in terms of quality standards, and also provide financial support to cover. So we expect really an improvement in terms of our complete support to cover during this current financial year 23-24. And the deal, the business is not the portfolio exists, in fact, we've done some conversation, but now it's with the Office of the Chief Special Advisor, where they will specify the cabinet, and then the cabinet also takes its own two to three months with public consultation first, and then it comes to department. So for the municipality chair that we interacted with, I know that Team Sabata is one of the municipalities. Ngoza Hill is one of those municipalities, so it's five municipalities that we covered in the Eastern Cape with this intervention. And I must indicate that we have the person Jones in Tondo, Nyandeni, it makes up the five municipalities. What we're looking at, we have already identified areas that are mostly complained about, things that really delay or restrict you know, the performance of small businesses in these areas, around complaint notification system, because some of the managers, they don't have proper systems. The person will come and make a complaint and such a complaint about something, the thing will be lost in the system because no one has proper processes or systems within the municipality, management, building plan approval processes, land development and zoning. Those are the key issues that normally come up in our interaction with SMMEs. They also complain about land and inefficient supply chain management processes, municipal business registration. So some of these areas, Chair, we do bring it to the attention of the municipalities that they have sorted things out. We have spoken about development of the dashboard where anyone can see, you know, what are the issues and how those issues have been resolved within that particular municipality. So some of the measures, Chair, will be addressed with the businesses amendment bill. Then the Honourable Jacob also raised an issue of universal bylaws. Yes, Minister has started engagement with SALCA in the space, so they are continuing discussions around that on how we can make sure that at least we come up with one standard bylaw to assist, you know, with ensuring that there are efficiencies around the municipalities across the country, and we are able to make sure that there is uniformity. But we are also pushing through the Business Act standardization, because it's unfair that different municipalities, they have different processes when it comes to informal businesses, for example, even the trade and permit. You know, not big way in Makado, they charge 250 for the whole year, so it means just around about 22 rent per month. Just for when you go to other areas, they charge up to 5,000 rent, which is really too much for informal businesses. So we are coming up with all these recommendations of clauses in the businesses amendment bill so that we standardize it across the country. Chair, I think on the issue of the understanding that was reported in the Treasury report, mostly it was delayed in terms of submission of certain documents from CEDA, but those documents were finally submitted because what we normally do, especially when the year, financial year ends, we do submit a preliminary report to the Treasury and then we submit a final report because the closure, for example, for this year was 28th, if I'm not mistaken, of April, where we, you know, there was a hard closure, whatever, you know, reconciliation had not been done, we're not going to count. So we do have a preliminary report, so the understanding came from the preliminary report, not the final report. So everything was done, the reconciliation was done, so there were no risks involved. We did advance CSIR, $2 million for them to assist us with the piloting of the cannabis support plan, which is specific to SMMEs, because we said in this master plan, at least we must have a specific pillar that deals with SMMEs. Then when the master plan was approved, then we were asked as the Department of Small Business Development to come up with a specific program focusing on SMMEs. That's what we've come up with, and then we are piloting this. We are piloting it with CSIR because we know that it's a new area for us. It's also a new area that has a lot of regulations that you need to comply with. So we got SFIR come up with technology to make sure that we are able, when we roll out this program, we can confidently say, these are the things that you need to have. This is the support that is required by SFIR. So we are piloting it with 6 municipalities for now. But once the pilot is successful, we should be able to roll it out to all people who are interested in getting involved in the space of the cannabis sector. Yes, there was an underperformance in the craft space. There are challenges. We work mostly there with these provincial agencies. Some of them, we do enter into MOAs, memorandum of agreements at the beginning of the year. Down the line of we are unable to deliver on this one because it's a lot of work, Chair. There are those that are suspected. They are able to go out and get these crafters together. They are able to train them. They are able to give them or expose them to opportunities. They are able to take them out for market access opportunities. But other areas, for example, we had a challenge with Kauteng last year where they came back find another alternative entity that can still support the same sector, which is the creative industry. So going forward, Chair, we want to make sure that we get all our ducks in the row. But some of them, Chair, they will meet simple things like ESG certification. Those are the things really that these provincial entities should not be struggling with. But anyway, we want to make sure that going forward, we work with those that are able to run with this. I had committed also this colleague by engaging with this SOD because we do see that some of the beneficiaries from particular provinces, they end up being not being assisted because of the inefficiency at the provincial entity level. So we want to make sure that they have proper capacity and are able to deliver on this. Chair, I think those are the areas that were not covered by other colleagues. But if there are areas that have missed, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. The minister is back. I will recognize her to respond, or more especially on the issue of 7% of FIFA. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon to all the members. I do note that my apology was submitted as I had to attend to the cabinet call, the FA cabinet committee meeting. The DM was leading the delegation, but this question that I see that it has been coming, it's not the first time, in relation to the resignation of the chairperson of FIFA. I would like, chairperson, with your permission, to read the email that the chairperson sent to us so that members can know what we have. If there's other information, then we may not be privy to. The email reads as follows. Dear Honorable Minister, I would like to thank you for an opportunity to serve South Africa as FIFA. It has been my greatest honor to serve. This has been also the most challenging role which I took with seriousness to them. In a few months since the board was appointed, I have appreciated your guidance on issues and oversight. In a few months, the board has been clear on governance and what is expected of by South Africans. Besides strengthening systems and processes, this board implemented various initiatives to improve FIFA. Following events from the 18th of April 2023, it has become apparent that there are fundamental difficulties at the organization. I have discussed reasons for my resignation with other board members on the 26th of April 2023. Board members have understood and have committed to work on improving FIFA. They have also committed to assisting the organization where possible. This email serves as confirmation of my resignation effective 28 April 2023. A detailed letter and report is being finalized, but wanted to submit a formal notification to comply with timelines that I had outlined in my conversations with the board members and for administrative efficiency. Thank you for the opportunity. Yours sincerely, Simtan Lesowitha. This is what we have. And the report that is referred to in the email has not been received as yet from the former chairperson. We don't know anything outside what has been written here on our email. But to just also...
Thanks for the presentation, Honorable Minister. I think that is enough for now.
Thank you so much.
I don't know, because you are back, between you and the DM, since the delegation was led by the DM, can I request her to summarize or to reflect certain things where she feels that are gaps, but the DG has already summarized everything, or at the end of our meeting, towards the end of our meeting, Honorable Minister. I've requested officials that where they feel the responses are not at hand, could they please go and write them and bring them? It is also, that is also allowed to be accurate. Thank you. DM.
Thank you, Chairperson, and welcome, Minister. I just wanted to indicate here that there's only one area which I thought one needs to reflect on, and it was the question or the statement made by Honorable Mabika with regard to his
a reflection on what the minister might have said or not said at the green spinach event after the budget speech. I just want to correct Honorable Mabika. Minister Stella Ndabeni-Abrahams mentioned at that particular event that the department must and its entities should market their services and programs and interventions that can help other businesses to grow to the level or above the level that entities like the one of the dry clean and laundry in Cape Town as well as the green spinach could be able to grow. But the minister went further to say the entities and the department should be alive to the fact that if it does happen that the services and interventions are well publicized, well marketed, there will be an influx of requests and applications, and they need to be ready and geared to be able to respond to that. There was no way in which the minister said that the department will not be able to manage or will not be marketing because they don't want the influx. I just needed to correct that. But also just to indicate to Honorable Kamelang, where she is requesting or making a recommendation that the committee be part of the appointment of the board. And I just wanted to indicate to her that the prescripts of the process for appointment of board are as per the legislation, and there is no room for the portfolio committee to be the appointers of the board, except to say that the portfolio committee has oversight on all entities of the department, and including the board that is usually leading the delegation to present to the committee. The other thing that I just wanted to reflect on is the issue with regard to the disabled. I just want to indicate that DG did respond as well as CIFA did respond. And I am conscious of the fact that the CIFA and DG indicated that they will be engaging with the Department of Women, Youth and People with Disability to be able to deal with the issue of the target. But I don't think that we should end where it is related to the amendment or the proper reflection of the target, but to indicate that one of the things that needs to be done as the department and its entities is to work together with associations and organizations of organized people of disabilities who have created business chambers. And I want to indicate only last week, the department through its program, the IMEDP, delivered for a community of disabled in Ubuhlebezwe municipality in KZN, which shows that if the disabled people are organized and they know exactly what they want to do, the department and its entities is available to support them. This 1% is a reflection of the target for one quarter, which is the fourth quarter. So I just needed to correct that. And thank you very much, honorable members, for your input. They do help to be
and thank you. Thank you. I don't know, honorable minister, if you have got something to say before I close the meeting. Honorable Minister, is the same with us?
Yes, Chair.
As I was not part of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Honorable members, here we are. I believe there is no any other item after this one is closed and remarked by the Chairperson. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable members, thanks for your deliberation and the advice. I believe it will build our committee, our portfolio committee, as well as assist our society on the ground. What I can say to add on to our recommendations is to please with pleasure to add more resources to this department. The expectations are high, but the outcome are very low. That is because of the department is under resourced. So maybe if we can end that one with a sharp tone, they can't expect us, can't expect the department to create more jobs meanwhile. Department to look at on that matter, more especially a minister, because the organization of people with disabilities has presented a document to us which we must respond. So hence I'm adding the issue of resources. At the same I'm adding the issue of checking exactly what are their interests, because into that particular document everything has been outlined. I even make an example that I might not have a hand, but my mind and my heart has got interest of Chisanya. So they can't say I don't qualify because I don't have arms. As long as I will be having aid to assist me and to achieve my interest, that can be possible. So we'll have to have a serious discussion on this matter to be able to accommodate them, because they feel they are being isolated in life. They even said to us that the grant which they are getting is too little. They are human beings, they've got children, so there have been a lot of things. So I'm of that view that we'll have to have discussions with the Minister, DM, and the DG on this matter and the leadership of FIFA.
Thank
you. Recording stopped.